springtime is here and bears are coming out hungry.
Fish and Game responds to increasing reports of rummaging coyotes, wandering moose, and hungry bears. And results from last weekend's Big Air Ski and Snowboard Contest. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Alaska State Troopers settled an illegal moose kill this week by issuing a citation to a Haines boy. Troopers determined on Monday that the cow moose kill back in February did not constitute defense of life or property and ordered community service and a hunting class.
On February 15th, I got a call from the juvenile's mother.
Alaska State Wildlife Trooper Rick Merritt responded to the call 2.5 months ago, which was after moose season had closed.
Calling the report, you know, that her 14-year-old son had shot a moose in the backyard while it was charging his dog.
Trooper Merritt interviewed the boy, who described to him the circumstances that led up to the shooting that day.
His dog was outside with him. He heard his dog barking. He looked up, and his dog was near the tree line barking at a moose. The moose then turned around and chased the dog for about 20 feet and stopped, and the dog continued running to where he was located, which was right next to the house. And then went and grabbed a .22 rifle, and while the moose was standing there in the middle of the yard, and at this point it had completely de-escalated, and the moose was not being aggressive at all. He ended up shooting the moose in the head, one shot, and it instantly killed the moose.
Troopers decided that the situation was not considered defense of life or property, also called DLP, for several reasons.
Number one reason is that the dog was the aggressor and aggravating the moose at that point, so the dog would have caused, you know, the moose to charge. The second thing is the moose had stopped. It wasn't being aggressive. It was no longer any harm to the dog or to the 14-year-old. And even the 14-year-old and the mother agreed that it shouldn't have been shot.
The cow was not pregnant, troopers said, adding that it likely died quickly from the shot to the head. The meat was donated to local charities.
From there, talking with him after the incident happened, I think it was a little bit of everything. You know, I think he had some adrenaline going, was a little scared. And at that point, instead of letting things de-escalate, you know, he pulled the trigger. And that's kind of, you know, just him being young, immature, and probably, you know, not a lot of hunting experience or weapons experience.
Under a DLP, a person has a right to put an animal down if it's damaging property that's worth a substantial amount. That could include livestock, a vehicle, or a home.
But there's a couple things you need to do ahead of time, and one is you have to do everything that you possibly can, all other practical means to protect your property. So, you know, that may include yelling at the animal, throwing rocks at the animal, hitting pans together, just something to let the animal know that you're there and kind of distract it and get it away from whatever it's doing. The animal trying to get into your garage, your house, you know, anything with a substantial amount of value. So, you know, it couldn't be a bear was just getting into one of your plastic containers sitting outside. That wouldn't constitute, you know, shooting or killing the animal over that.
The 14-year-old will be required to complete 30 hours of community service in Haines and take a hunter education course before he can get a hunting license.
Taking one cow is not going to hurt the population, but we don't want that to happen because, you know, the Haines Valley has roughly an estimated, you know, 300 animals in the herd here locally. And, you know, one cow moose, you know, depending on how many calves she has over her life, you know, that can be fairly substantial.
It's this time of year when big, hungry animals are wandering out of their caves and into people's trash. Fish and Game wildlife biologist Anthony Krupe says reports of brown and black bears in the Haines and Skagway area are increasing.
Every year it's a little bit different when bears start to come out. We're starting to see black bears around Juneau. When we were in Haines last weekend, we were seeing some tracks of brown bears that have started to come out. So springtime is here and bears are coming out hungry.
Krupe says human habits in springtime are especially important, since preventing bear interactions now will keep bad bear habits from forming into the season.
Make sure everybody does a good job to fortify your yards from bear attractants, such as birdseed and freezers and pet food that may be left out.
Juneau recently passed an ordinance requiring people to put their trash out on the morning of trash pickup. Skagway has bear-proof trash cans around town. Krupe suggests people outside of Juneau do the same on their own.
So one thing that will be important is for people in Haines to make sure that trash doesn't go out until the morning of pickup. In Juneau, it's been very productive in limiting bear attractants in their neighborhood. And in Haines, if people could put their trash out on the morning of, it would really keep bears from lingering in town. As they find these attractants, they tend to stick around for a while.
Fish and Game also suggests freezing meats and bones until day of trash pickup and considering installing electric fences around chicken coops, fruit trees, and fish smokers. In addition to Bruins, residents have reported rummaging coyotes and moose on the Haines Highway.
When we were in Haines last week, we came across a moose calf that was killed on the highway. So below 8 Mile, there have been quite a few cows and calves seen, so it would be good to keep your eyes out for them as they're heading to the riverside to get some of these willows and dogwoods that are starting to green up. They'll be moving back and forth from the river flats across the road, and so to keep an eye out for moose as you're traveling along the Haines Highway.
Local wildlife trooper Rick Merritt says his department is available for site visits and suggestions. Their number is 766-2533.
And I do recommend people call us. You know, if they are having a bear issue or an issue with an animal, to call us right away. Let us know that it's happening, and we'll go to the house and kind of observe and see why we think, you know, that the animal's being attracted. There's always a reason the animal's being attracted. It's either maybe a smokehouse, you know, with someone smoking salmon, or maybe a person has left garbage outside. Dog food's another big one. Folks that leave dog food outside or kind of in an area, bears can smell that, and they're attracted to it. Bears are attracted to bird seed, compost piles, and at least that way we can take a look and see. And if we can correct that problem for a short period of time, a good chance that bear's going to move on and look for food in other places.
Black bear hunt regulations are still in effect since the harvest season is open until June 30th in the Upperland Canal. Again, Fish and Game wildlife biologist Anthony Krupe.
Starting last year, we required black bear harvest tickets. These would be issued along the regulatory year, so each year you have to get a new hunting license, and your harvest tickets would cover you for the fall and the spring. And it's an important tool that we're using to manage black bear harvest throughout Southeast, and this is a great way for us to get more information on our black bear harvest.
Hunters can harvest up to 2 black bears per year. Brown bear spring season is March 15th to May 31st. Krupe's a former Haines resident and took his new position in Juneau at the beginning of this month.
Studied bears along the Chilkoot River for 5 years as part of my master's project, and have been working for Fish and Game since 2005, and I'm looking forward to working in Haines again.
The 15th annual Big Air Snowboard Contest saw 17 competitors this year, with Logan Simpson taking the top placement among the locals. Luck Dunbar was one of the organizers.
He actually went down really steep. It's pretty steep before he hit the jump, but he only had 1 foot strapped into the binding. Okay, and nobody knew this. He just went down, hit the jump full speed, and grabbed the front of his board with his left hand, I believe, and kicked out his back right foot. So in the picture, it looks amazing. I mean, he's got 1 foot in the board. He's got 3 guardsmen in the background. He's got this nice grab, and it's really pretty styly.
There were 3 men's divisions, advanced, intermediate, and beginner. First place overall in the advanced division was past winner Jarrett Thomas of Juneau.
And he won a full-day heli skiing with Alaska heli skiing. He's a skier, and he would go backwards down this really steep hill, kind of looking down by his side. And, he hit the jump and just do amazing rodeos and all. I mean, it was pretty impressive.
A women's division was new this year, and 3 local ladies signed up to jump. Anna Jacobson took home the category win.
And it was very impressive. It was really impressive. Those girls were going, pretty huge. They all had their different styles. There was a skier, a telemark skier, and a snowboarder. They were all hitting the jump pretty good. There was one point where Anna Jacobson, she just didn't turn or something from the top. She just barreled down the hill, hit that thing, and I think she probably went as far as some of the advanced guys. She definitely went the distance. She flew. She just sailed. She landed pretty hard and kind of compressed. Came up with a little bit of blood on her lip and her thumbs up saying, I'm okay. But that was pretty impressive.
Dunbar acknowledged a long list of local businesses and individuals that donated prizes and time to make the competition a success. He and a handful of builders spent a day and a half forming the two jumps, one beginner and one expert.
I guess it was further up the hill than where we usually have it, across from Three Guardsmen. We were a little bit kind of sketched out at first because the snow seemed really powdery and not very buildable until we really started to dig down deep. And Eric Triesenberg, he found that a couple layers down there was some really solid snow, and he started carving these huge chunks out of it. Along with Darren and Liam Cassidy and myself, stacked up a bunch of snow and built a long ramp up the hill for stability for the riders. And turned out really good. It was a really big, pretty good-sized jump.
The crew finished it off by carving Olin Nash's initials in the front of the jump, painting it with green food coloring to make it visible from the road. The contest is held in Nash's memory each spring.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Haynes, for making the Olin Nash Big Air another success.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell.